This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Mike, big stories of the day, top stories of the day, whatever you want. So how about a reunion in Pittsburgh between Aaron Rodgers and their new head coach, Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy coached Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers from 2006 to 2018. That's crazy. 2006 to 2018, Michael. We're getting old, buddy. It shows on you, but man, I'm starting to feel it. McCarthy says this could be a great story, getting those two together. McCarthy's comments came during an appearance in Green Bay at the celebration of life for late Packers president Bob Harlan. Kevin Harlan, Bob's son, was the MC of the ceremony held in the Lambeau Field atrium. While McCarthy was there to pay tribute to Harlan, Kevin Harlan asked the first-year Steelers coach about a possible reunion with Aaron Rodgers. He said, "I don't know. I would love to tell everybody that there's some breaking news. It's really cool to see Aaron at 42 and to see a young man at 22 and all that he's been able to accomplish and where he's at in his personal life trying to make this decision." Mike, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers? Do we want to keep seeing Aaron Rodgers in the NFL?
I thought last year would be his last year. Is he signing a one-year contract?
He hasn't yet. Not that I know of. He has not yet. And that's why the talk of the reunion of him going back to Pittsburgh under Mike McCarthy. Now, that would be poetic. I just don't know. I kind of thought the Rodgers-Mike Tomlin thing would be a poetic end. But unfortunately, they just didn't have it down the stretch, man. Line was bad. Weapons were bad. Rodgers wasn't always great.
Rodgers is half the man he used to be. He used to be able to scramble. He still has a rocket arm, but it's not as much of a rocket as it used to be. He's still a smart quarterback, but he just can't win in the playoffs.
You got to give him more time, too. I mean, he's almost like he used to be quick and able to get out of trouble. It's like he's gone the opposite. Like the legs, when they're... Listen, man, I just raced Tanner Schwint last week, Michael, and my left butt is still in pain. So for him to do this at 42 and play quarterback, man, let my terrible, small, know-nothing race tell you how difficult it would be to still play football. I can't imagine at the age of 42 still playing football when Tanner and I had one race and it was like, there goes my leg. Probably can't use that. Probably can't actually jog for a good month and a half.
I figured he'd join Jake Plummer on the mushroom farm industry.
Oh, you know, when Rodgers retires, I'd pay money to subscribe to his podcast. I think he's fascinating.
He'd have some interesting guests and some dumb things to say.
No, I think he'd be fascinating. I think he'd be like Joe Rogan, probably not as intelligent as Joe Rogan, but he'd probably be in that world.
He's got some interesting conspiracies, and
I think he'd be good.
I find him very fascinating.
Yes.
And I'm not going to poo-poo everything he says,
no.
But he's He can be a little wacky.
Well, you can't have fascinating people like that without having wacky things that you disagree with. I disagree with Joe Rogan on a lot of things. I disagree with Bill Maher on a lot of things. But, man, when they sit down and they have a couple of puffs or a couple of swigs of something, it is very, very entertaining.
Yeah, and I have no problem with unabashed wackiness. Like, if that's who you are, go ahead and be yourself. I like that rather than, you know, the Hollywood actor pretending to be cool and, you know, nice and stuff, but really they're an a-hole in person. Like, I believe that's who Aaron Rodgers actually is, and I respect
that. Well, I think Rogan is, too. I don't think Rogan's fake.
No. I think Rogan and Maher, I think that's
Bill Maher's not fake, yeah.
I think that's who they actually are.
100%. Cincinnati, I thought this was going to happen yesterday, but Cincinnati has hired Utah State's Jared Calhoun as its next head coach. The school announced Tuesday's deal with Cincinnati is for 6 years, starting at $3.7 million per year, according to the school. He will be introduced on Wednesday. Per his contract, Utah State will be owed $3.9 million, sources told ESPN, which it plans to use for potential candidates, and the NIL pool for next season. So good for him. Hell of a coach. Michael, are you ready for this story?
I'm all about it.
Quadruple amputee cornhole player fatally shoots man, authorities say.
How the hell did that happen?
Quadruple amputee, meaning from what I saw the videos and the pictures, because there's a video online right now of him in target practice just shooting a gun regularly. He's got his arms are gone from the elbow down. His legs are gone from the knees down.
Oh, so he probably has some, like, not hands.
From the elbow down.
Well, he probably has some, like, prosthetics.
Not in the video I saw. He was shooting a gun, not with that.
Got to be a specialized gun.
He had his the tip, like his elbow, kind of getting into where the trigger is and was able to pull the trigger. So a county sheriff's office in Maryland said Monday that a professional cornhole player who's also a quadruple amputee fatally shot a passenger in the front seat of a car he was driving during an argument. Obviously, he would have to have prosthetics then to be able to drive the car, something to push the pedal, I would imagine. Unless he has one of those, like, if he just has a bunch of blocks where he pushes the blocks and pushes the pedal.
Well, there are all sorts of, like, people with disabilities that I saw, like, a little documentary of this girl who was born without arms, and she drives with her feet. Like, he's got to have something in there.
Dayton James Weber, 27, was arrested and charged as a fugitive from justice by police in Albemarle County in Virginia. The Charles County Sheriff's Office said in a statement. They're seeking his extradition from Virginia and said he will be charged with first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and related charges. He was profiled by ESPN in 2023. According to his parents, doctors amputated his arms and legs when he was 10 months old to save his life and after he contracted a blood infection that led to sepsis. Weber went on to become a professional player of cornhole. How did he throw the cornhole? How did he throw in the beanbag, Mike?
And this was on ESPN?
This was on ESPN.
Okay, that's not a sport. Cornhole's not a sport.
Oh, it absolutely is, and you shut your mouth. You know what? I'm tired of this elitist attitude around here. With Tanner saying track's not a sport and you saying cornhole's not a sport. Just go away.
Track would be a sport more than cornhole.
Devour another donut.
If I can do it,
anybody that eats a donut the way I was watching you eat a donut in the last hour does not get to tell grown men, grown ass men and women what a sport is. No, cornhole's a sport.
Cornhole is a drinking.
It's absolutely a sport. Whatever you were doing was not a sport. That's something you cry for 15 minutes after. But yes, he was on ESPN. And he became a professional player. He was pulled over after the shooting and asked two passengers in the back of the cart to help pull the victim out. The Charles County Sheriff's Office said the witness refused, got out of the car, and flagged down police officers. Weber fled the victim with the victim still in the car. I guess he would not have many choices because he couldn't get him out. If the passengers were unwilling to help him, he would just be stuck with the body he killed. So about a 10-mile drive away from Charlotte, there was a resident that reported a body in a yard. Officers found the victim. Bradrick Michael Wells, 27, was pronounced dead at the scene. The American Cornhole League posted a statement on its Facebook page saying it is aware of allegations involving him, Weber, but said it would not comment on what it called an active legal situation while proceedings were ongoing. Just, I mean, again, first off, sucks, right? Anybody that gets shot and killed, that's a terrible situation. But Michael, can we be real here? I have questions. How's he driving? How did he shoot him? How did he get his body out of the car when his passengers refused to help? How did he get his body out of the car? Because a resident reported a body being out in the middle of the yard. How did he get it out of there?
I mean, maybe he drove really fast and
maybe
used force, like just and allowed the body just like,
kind of
fall out.
Maybe used his nubs to kind of like work that thing out of there. I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm actually just trying to work through it in my brain. Because when I read this story this morning, I was like, how? And everybody that's seen this story is asking that question. How? How was he driving? How did he shoot a person? How did he get the body out of the car? How did he play cornhole? Like, most of those stories are really cool.
The body out of the car is my big question.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be tough.
Clearly, he asked his passengers.
I have both arms and legs, and I'd have a difficult time pulling a body out of a car.
Yeah, you would actually not be able to, and you have all of your arms and stuff.
I don't think they work all the way.
I saw a video this morning of him shooting a gun. It was just a random video he must have posted on his social media, and then somebody got a hold of it. And he's just shooting a gun. No prosthetics, nothing. He's loading it with the tips of his elbow or tips of his upper halves of arms. He's loading the gun. And somehow he's working at the point of wherever his elbow is or whatever into the little round area where the trigger is. And somehow it's getting in there and he pulls the trigger several times. So proof that he could shoot a gun. I guess you figure it out. That's a weird thing, man. What a weird, weird story here on a Tuesday. Yes, Michael.
Well, I just like it. It reminds me of like that guy's the opposite end of people. Like, you know, they have an unfortunate situation and they get over it, and you're like, oh, that's amazing. Like that guy's on the opposite end. There are people on the other end who are like Olympians. You're like, that guy's awesome. Or there's a guy on YouTube who has an underdeveloped hand, but he plays the guitar and the drums. And
the guy Tanner and Brian had in. The dude was born with like. All of his fingers are like halvesy fingers, and he's like this amazing golfer. He's an amazing golfer. He's an amazing bowler.
There was a kid who built a working hand out of Lego Technic bricks. Like he can actually pick things up with his hand.
It's crazy.
Like that's amazing. And then there's that dude. It's like
does all these things that could get him a lot of respect and, you know, admiration, and then he does something like this, and then all that goes out the window. All the stuff that, you know, had been pitted against you, you overcame that and could have been a really cool story, and you were a really cool story, and then something like this happens. And again, they're still investigating it, so we'll see. 19 minutes after the hour. Michael, where were you when it was announced that Peyton Manning was going to be a Denver Bronco? He just turned 50 years old. But Manning, talk about a player. I know John Elway's huge, and I know there's several big-time players that define the Broncos way, Broncos country. But Peyton Manning is in one of those chapters somewhere in that book of all things Denver Broncos. Just what did it mean when Manning decided to sign with John Elway and company and become a Denver Bronco? We'll talk about it coming up next, 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
We have the madness on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Bulge.
John, I've told you this before. When I signed with Denver, part of me coming here was because of the tradition of winning that you had established. You weren't selling Denver to me. You weren't recruiting so hard in free agency. We were kind of talking quarterback to quarterback.
Right.
That meant a lot to me. It had a big impact on me. John Elway used to be my boss. After my neck surgery, the Broncos GM believed in me more than anyone else.
And he's a guy that raises all boats. And I believe he's got a lot of great football left in him.
I came to Denver to play for him and never expected to wear number 18. The Broncos retired the number for Frank Trpucka, the first quarterback the team ever had. But Frank was kind enough to unretire 18 and let me share it as a Bronco. If I had come here, John, and said, I've always really wanted to wear number 7, but that's really the only way I'm going to be able to come here. Would you have
had number 7.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Really?
We'd have shared that number 7.
You look over at these three numbers, you know, it's hard to see. I don't know what that says under the 18. It's kind of smaller font. That word in between 7 and 18 kind of describes how big my name is up there. Little. It's little right there.
Peyton Manning just turned 50 years old and kind of has us reminiscing a little bit about him as a Hall of Famer. Wonderful career well before his Broncos days. That was a strange time in Broncos history because Denver had just come off of beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game. Home playoff game with Tim Tebow at quarterback. They had one of the most historic moments in Broncos history was Tim Tebow throwing it to Demaryius Thomas in overtime and Denver winning the game. Shortly after that, they get smoked by the Patriots, and you're wondering what the future is going to look like. That was Tebow. That's the only way to end the Tebow drama was for a guy like Peyton Manning to come in. Tim Tebow was, we talked about how big of a character he was, larger than life. You either loved him or you hated him. But after the Broncos won that playoff game and then they lost to the Patriots, you had one half of Broncos country saying, well, got to rebuild and just build up this team for Tim Tebow, man. Just find a way. You can do it. And then you had the other half saying, this isn't sustainable. The guy can't, you know, he's skipping rocks out there. He's had games where he completed two passes. There's no way you can keep doing this. And it sounded like John Elway and company were prepared to go that route, maybe, or just wait until something came along. And then Peyton Manning You know, the Colts, we kind of knew the Colts were going to release Peyton, but how realistic was it that Denver could go and get a guy like Manning? It started to pick up steam. The Titans were one of the teams in the mix, Mike. I think it really came down to the Broncos, Titans, and who?
49ers.
Was it the 49ers?
Because I think they had just parted ways with Alex Smith.
Maybe. So Manning comes to Denver, and the rest is kind of history. Don't you agree, though? Like, there was only one way to put an end to Tebow. Because even the Tebow fans, some of the diehards were still a little weird, but even the Tebow fans kind of finally had to go, okay, yeah, it's Peyton Manning. We'll go. Because Manning's a likable dude anyway. So it's not like he's just a jerk that just happens to be a great player. He's also like he's like your everyman. So for anybody to come in and put out that Tebow fire, it had to be a guy like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Peyton Manning was one of those guys, you hate him on the field, love him off the field.
He drove me crazy.
You watched that Saturday Night Live skit, yeah, making fun
of. That made him kind of famous.
Yeah.
Outside of football. We were big football people, but he drove me crazy with how long he was, you know, how long he took at the line of scrimmage when he was a Colt. But when he became a Bronco, it was like, sit back and admire it. Watch him call out everything. I think one of the more underrated, more important football games in that stretch, Mike, in the Peyton Manning stretch, tell me if you agree, it would have been the 2014 season. And no. I think I'm wrong. It was the 2015 season. And it was the last game of the season against the then San Diego Chargers. If they win that game, they clinch home field advantage and the number one seed. If they lose, it's still up in the air, and they're probably going to have to play a game over the weekend. Brock Osweiler started that game. That game is historic, Michael, because that was the only game that a fully healthy Peyton Manning, suited up, ready to go, served as a backup quarterback in his career. That was the only time. And it was his last regular season game, which he did not start. His last start in the regular season was on, was it the Kansas City game? It was on November 15th.
I think he was like 1 for 5.
And he was bad.
For 4 yards.
And the crowd started to kind of boo almost. And he had a bad heel, so the Broncos were able to kind of use that as, well, he's hurt, so now we're going to rehab him. And Osweiler had a fine season. But there were people wondering if Elway wanted Manning out the door the year before that. Certainly during that season, if it was time. If Manning maybe had finally hit, you know, the old father time wall and was not going to be able to break through it. Probably that was it. Like, he just had a little bit left in the tank, and it was enough to use his brain. So Brock Osweiler was the guy, and there's a really fascinating story around that, too. But Peyton ultimately takes over as the starting quarterback, starts the second half. You can argue all day whether Osweiler should have been benched. He wasn't that bad. But he wasn't really reading the defense. He wasn't audibling and putting this offense into the right positions, which is why some guys were getting hit and fumbling footballs. So Manning comes in and he changes that. It's instant too, isn't it? Like instant. Manning calls a play, changes it, audibles, runs the ball, and they run for a big gain. That was a big win. That was a significant win for Denver.
Kind of reminded you of the San Diego Chargers game.
Ugh.
In San Diego a few years earlier, where the Broncos were down 24-0 on Monday Night Football and ended up winning 35-24. Like, it just felt that way, tale of two halves.
That's an interesting one. It started with the Chargers, and it maybe ended with the Chargers. Because if you guys remember, The Broncos were two and first year they got Peyton Manning. First game was fireworks, man. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-19. And it's funny how this always works, man. The Steelers were the team that the Broncos beat in the playoffs, and then the Broncos get to do it again. And then they lose a close one to Atlanta. Not for trying, though. They were down big, came back. Lost a close one to Houston. Down big, came back. Didn't win. Neither one of those two games they win. They beat the Raiders, but they are 2-2 at that time. And then they lose to the Patriots, also a game they were getting smoked in. And they came back, but not all the way. 2-3 against the Chargers. And right the next week was their bye week, Michael. So you're either going to be 2-4 or you're going to be 500 at your bye week. And Denver was down so big in that game. And found it was a very unlikely comeback. You're right, Mike. It was 24-0 at the half. And Denver went on to score 35 unanswered points in the second half.
It wasn't just offensively. Tony Carter got a
Sticky pick six. Sticky man Tony Carter. Man, there was a lot of big things in that game. I loved watching the highlights of that game. And from that point on, Mike, the Broncos didn't lose the rest of the way in that season. Now in the postseason, course, they end up getting the number one seed, 13-3. It's a team that started 2-3 and they went 13-3. And of course, that just so happens to be one of the worst playoff moments. One of the worst moments in Broncos history was the loss in double overtime to the Baltimore Ravens.
And you know, a lot of that was a coaching thing. I remember the Broncos defense being battered and bruised, but the defense wasn't the problem. The offense just couldn't move the ball, and they turned it over.
Yeah.
And it all came from John Fox.
Raheem Moore's on line one with you, by the way. If you're saying defense isn't a problem, Raheem Moore's on line one.
Yeah, wow.
He wants to agree with you. Baltimore has a picture of that ball going over Raheem Moore's head at their stadium. They honor that thing, man.
Are you talking about Super Bowl 48 or the game against the Ravens?
The game against the Ravens.
Yeah, that was defense. Well, it was both.
It was both. And Raheem Moore was the Ravens game, Mike.
That the year where he started calling himself Raheem the Dream Moore?
I thought he called himself one. Because didn't he go to USC? I thought he called himself that.
I just remember him at some point starting to call himself Raheem the Dream Moore, and I'm like, come on, dude, that's not cool. And then he gave up that play, and it was like, how do you do that?
He went to UCLA, my bad. But yeah, he would call. I liked Raheem Moore. I liked the guy I was doing the show with at the time. You remember his name, big Bears fan, hated Raheem Moore. So I liked him. But unfortunately, dude, that name, whatever happened to that guy? Because that name is a very negative name in Broncos country, man.
I think he had one more year with the Broncos, and then he disappeared, and then he was with that XFL, one of the two football leagues for a year, and then gone.
Some good players on that roster that year, Michael. Well, the year they lost to Baltimore, you know, it was Manning, obviously. At running back, man, no Sean Moreno, Willis McGahee, and God rest his soul, Ronnie Hillman. That was a three-back combo that I liked. They had Lance Ball on that team. Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Jacob Tammy at tight end. B. Stokes was on that team, former Ram, Joel Dreesen. Some good player. Virgil Green still playing at that time for the Broncos defensively. Wesley Woodyard, Mike Adams, Vaughn, Champ Bailey was on that roster. Chris Harris Jr., Elvis Dumervil. Loved Elvis Dumervil. Faxgate. A lot of weird stories surrounding these guys, though, right?
Did that happen in the middle of the day during your show? I know that happened in the middle of the day. I wasn't sure if that happened during your show.
I think so. It was reported that Dumervil's coming back. He's going to be with the Broncos. Wait, he didn't get his contract faxed in time before the deadline, and they don't make any exceptions to that. And wasn't it him that claimed it was a fax that wouldn't go through?
I mean, that just... I want to believe him, but I don't. And then he goes to the enemy.
Interesting guys on that team. All guys that are... Okay, let me ask you this. I'm going to do some memory association with you. I'm going to see where your brain is, because I can go here. When I say no Sean Marino, what's the first thing you think of?
Darren Williams.
Why?
Because he called Darren Williams' mom and asked if she could wear 27.
You know what I think of is gigantic tears falling down his face during the national anthem.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Ronnie Hillman passed away. What's kind of your first? My first thought is like potential. Like he could have been something.
I remember. I actually remember hearing him for the first time, like on ESPN highlights, like people saying, "Oh, this guy's," because he was a second rounder, I think, and people were really excited about him. And he went to San Diego State, so I was watching those highlights, and he was good.
Good. How about Willis McGahee? What's your memory association with him?
Is he the guy that had 9 kids?
I believe maybe. No, you're thinking Travis Henry.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Maybe both, but I think Travis. Willis McGahee played for the Bills. Wasn't he a Hurricane? And he was the guy. He played with Tebow. Yeah, he went to Miami. He played with Buffalo for a good chunk of his career, then Baltimore. He played 1 year with Tebow and 1 year with Manning. So I, for some reason, I always just think of, man, that guy got to see two total ends of the spectrum there in football.
Where he didn't get handed the ball very often.
Not like he did with Tim Tebow. Demaryius Thomas also passed away. I mean, he had 94 receptions, 1,400 yards that first year with Manning. Elite receiver. Well, okay, Swami, Willis McGahee equal broken leg. Broken leg, that's what he's thinking of. Forgot about that. Eric Decker. I always just think of Eric Decker catching one of two Tim Tebow completions against the Chiefs, and one was it just happened to be a touchdown. That's what I remember.
Is it weird that I associate him with Harry Potter?
Why?
Because I think he was like one of the first adult Harry Potter fans that I was familiar with. I was like, isn't that a children's movie back then?
No. It's a smart movie. Brandon Stokely. As a Bronco, my memory association is him catching the weird winning touchdown pass against Cincinnati.
That's actually Hail one of my favorite plays wasn't in Broncos history.
Wasn't it Orton?
Yeah.
Chucked it up. Ball goes up in the air. Looks like it's going to be incomplete. And there's Stokes just hanging out, just like you try to do in Madden. There he is. And then he takes off and runs for like 40 yards.
And then doesn't go in the end zone right away. He just like runs across the line, wastes 2 seconds, then goes in the end zone.
Joel Drees. I'm literally just going through the roster from Peyton Manning's first year in honor of his birthday, just looking at how this was. Joel Dreesen, CSU Ram. Wesley Woodyard. Anything
I remember
stand
him
out?
Leaving the Broncos to go with to John Fox and the Bears.
Oh, really? I thought he went to Tennessee.
I thought he went with the Bears.
We're about to find out. He went to Tennessee. You're right. I'm right. You owe me $50.
I didn't put money on it.
He did not play with the Bears.
And who was the linebacker that went to the Bears?
Danny John Trevathan. Fox. Danny Trevathan after the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Mike Adams, Raheem Moore. We talked about that. Von Miller. That would have been his, second year?
Really? His Broncos career. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Champ Bailey.
Never got that Super Bowl.
Never got that Super Bowl, but...
deserved it.
One of the great Broncos.
He's an honorary Super Bowl winner.
Chris Harris Jr. Hey, you know, Memory Association? The Chris Harris Jr. Show on KFKA. Remember that? That was great. Elvis Dumervil. Yeah, I think of Faxgate, but I also think of a lot of sacks. Undersized, probably, but found a way to get it done. Justin Bannon? Wasn't that...
Sounds familiar.
Justin Bannon. Isn't he a bad guy? Yeah, he's a bad guy. He was a bad dude. He ended up doing bad things. Not during his Broncos time, I believe, but he was not a good... turned out to be a good person. Let's just say that.
Let's see what Wikipedia has to say.
Kevin Vickerson. You remember Kevin? We got to take a break. Kevin Vickerson. Also, Mitch Unrein. Remember Mitch Unrein?
Mitch Unrein
also
show.
Also, the Mitch Unrein show. We did two shows. Former Eaton Red and Wyoming Cowboy. 43 minutes after the happy birthday to the sheriff, Peyton Manning. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Stop by. Don't forget Big City Roadhouse for all the basketball watching you can possibly take. I'm sure they're going to have the Nuggets and the Avs fired up tonight, too. Best food around. Best pizza around. Best burger. They have everything. Everything's perfect at Big City Roadhouse. 12:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one next. Hour two next, Michael.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
All right, coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll get to the whole show pressure cooker. Also, the biggest Rockies questions heading into the season. Spring training is it over yet? Was yesterday the first game over, or do they go all the way up to the, I forget, there's 400 million games. But I'm kind of excited for the Rocks to start up, man. I'm not just the beard thing, not just the goofy thing we're doing with the Dirty 30. I want to see if they can get better. I'm not going to make any prediction for over-under wins or anything like that. I'm not watching this team thinking of playoffs. I'm not watching this team with any kind of nerves or expectations. I just want to see them do well. I don't know if they will. They might. That'd be awesome. The time will tell, and that starts up on Friday with Warren Schaefer taking over as his first official first year. Last year was the interim, and they removed the interim tag, and we'll see what he has in store for us for the Rockies as they start their season coming up on Friday. 12:55 the time. We'll get to the whole show pressure cooker coming up next. Who do you got, Hooligans? Throw someone in the pressure cooker. Let me know who it is. Big night tonight in the local sports scene. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.